Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Well, Dalton, it's been nice and sunny this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, thankfully.
Not for much longer.
Yeah, it's just going to go.
It's going to rain Thursday, and it's going to mess up the playoff schedule again. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's great.
Well, I mean, for me, it's just, this is just a personal thing. I've been getting more, I used to play disc golf a lot.
Yeah.
And I've been getting more into it again, back into it here in Tupelo, and now it wants to stop raining, so I can't play.
No, you can't.
And so I'm just like, all right, well, I'll just go back to my house, I guess, hang out.
Right. So I'll be covering a game for the third night in a row tonight on this Wednesday, April 24th, because a couple of softball series have been pushed up today because of the rain that's supposed to come in Thursday. A lot of baseball series supposed to start Thursday.
I don't think it's going to happen.
They're going to start Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Monday. Some teams will play a doubleheader Saturday if needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this happened the other day. I got the whole schedule figured out for softball and baseball. That's what I've been doing all morning. And then the rain just goes and changes everything.
Well, of course.
So
can't make it easy on
Mississippi
you.
Weather is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've said that before. Summer is the worst. Not a fan of summer. Not down here anyway.
No, it doesn't bother me too bad.
Bothers me. Doesn't bother you? You're a ginger. Don't you burn easily? I do, and I'm not even redheaded.
I'm used to it. It's all right. I get burned every single night to go cover a softball game.
You think I'd be used to it, but I'm not. Anyway, thanks for joining us on this episode of Prep Rally. Going to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi for the next few minutes. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes or any of your podcast apps, or you can stream it online on your computer at preprally.djournal.com. Okay, playoffs, I mentioned there. That's pretty much all we're going to talk about today, Dalton. Let's start with the baseball playoffs. Let's update a few things here. Tuesday night, you went out and saw Ripley Morville in Game 3 of that Class 4A series, and a pretty good series. We had Dylan Barnes up there covering Game 1 the other night when Ripley won. Then Morville came back and won Game 2, and last night, Ripley wins another close one.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know what to expect going into this game. Because, you know, Game 1, Ripley goes in and beats Will Armistead.
Hard to do.
That's an extremely hard feat to do. And then Game 2, Morville comes back and wins on a walk-off home run. Their only home run of the entire season. That was the only home run they hit all season.
Did not know that.
And so I came to this one. I didn't know what to expect. And Ripley just... I mean, it wasn't as exciting as the other ones, I guess. You know, Ripley kind of jumped ahead in the third inning and then just cruised.
Yeah.
Because they had some two-out hits that were really clutch. I think Jack Ketchum had a two RBI double with two outs. Ben Fryer had a one RBI single with two outs. And then Jay Johnson had an RBI single. Four of their five runs came with two outs.
Wow.
And the other one was a two-out walk or one-out walk, bases-loaded walk, something like that, I think. They scored five runs, and that's all they needed. Ripley had their ace on the mound, Cade Davis. He only threw 74 pitches in Game 1. They pulled him before he got to 75 because they were down 4-1 to Will Armistead before they came back and won. And so he had 3 days rest, came back and pitched last night, threw a complete game on 88 pitches.
Wow.
So,
nice. Well, that's good thinking there by Coach Gafford.
And he came out, you know, he didn't have a lot of strikeouts or anything last night. Defense played really well behind him. They just made some plays, did what they had to do to win. And Ripley goes to the next round. He got to play League Central. And
that's right.
But now I don't know what the situation is with the ace. So.
Yeah. That's kind of the pitching is always gets tricky this time of year. But, yeah, they played League Central next. I was looking at that schedule earlier. They play at Ripley on Friday.
He said last night it was Thursday.
Well, they've changed it since then, I guess. They tweeted something out. So they open it Friday at home at 6 o'clock, and then Saturday they will travel to League Central at 4 and then back at Ripley Monday if needed at 6. So, yeah, I think they tweeted that out this morning.
I missed that.
Yeah. All right, so Ripley moves on in the playoffs. Tupelo not moving on, Dalton, and you were there for that one. Got knocked out in, that was the first round, wasn't it?
It was the first round.
Against obviously a pretty good Warren Central team. 6A is just tough, man.
Mm-hmm.
6A is just, it's brutal.
It is, and, I mean, Tupelo just, you know, they just kind of ran out of pitching this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they
had some injuries.
Yeah, they had injuries. John Luke Marlin and Hunter Elliott both go down early in the year. And next thing you know, Peyton Puckett's the ace. He's got 8 career innings pitched. And, you know, in 6A, that's just tough to overcome. They almost did it. You know, they came, I think, one game from getting second division, 2 games from winning division. And then, they lose to a really good Warren Central team in the first round. And Warren Central, I think, has their ace is an LSU commit. You know, they have a catcher that's a Southern Miss commit. They got some good players on that team. And they walked off Tupelo 4-3 in game one, and then game two was 8-5. It was Warren Central won. I think they ended up with 12 hits off Hunter Elliott. He came back, you know, hard throwing lefty. I think it was his 3rd appearance of the year. And he just didn't really have the velocity that I'm used to seeing that I saw from last year. I guess he's still, you know, he's still coming back from the injury, of course.
But, right.
You know, I've heard he's getting up, he's hitting 90 a couple times. And now I think their night is high. His highs was probably 84, 85.
Ooh, yeah.
He's just still coming back. I think he'd only thrown 2 innings before. Coming back from the injury once against Oxford, and then came back and threw. He was on a 55 pitch count. So
wow, yeah.
And then they kind of got a few runs on him. Peyton Puckett came in. They got a couple runs on him, and then they just couldn't keep up with the bats. So.
Yeah.
But I think they lose those 2 guys. You lose your 2 best pitchers, and then you get all these guys coming in. But all those guys that pitched for them this year are returning. So I think next year, you know, they're going to have a pretty veteran pitching staff with.
Yeah.
With Elliott, you know, if he's hitting 90 again, and then John Luke Marlin comes back, and Peyton Puckett, of course, you know, is reliable. Trip Wilson throws 90, center fielder. He's coming back, and then they got a freshman, McLean Ray, and then Bo Jaggers, I think sophomore. They're both good pitchers. They have a lot to work with for next year.
Yeah, they should be fine. Again, like 6A, man, it's no shame going out in the first round because it's all across the state. It's just really tough in 6A.
Oh yeah, I mean every team's got it seems like 3 or 4 Division I kids on their teams in 6A. So.
Yeah, well, looking ahead to some key series coming up this weekend, Dalton. I'm looking forward to this one in 1A, Pine Grove and Smithville. Pine Grove having a really good year. I'm going to talk about one of their kids in a minute, but Smithville, of course, Jared Johnson, he's got a kid with SEC offers. He's their ace. I guess he'll probably pitch game one. The big key here is going to be pitching depth in this series because Smithville, beyond Johnson, they're very vulnerable on the mound, I think. Now, as for Pine Grove, not as familiar with their pitching staff, Dalton. Maybe you are, but it seems like a pretty interesting matchup to me.
Yeah, I think they have 2 really good starters.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how much they have after that, of course, but – yeah, I'm interested because, you know, I remember from last year, I think Smithville went to game 3 in every single series.
They did.
I don't think they're going to be able to do that again this year. They just don't have didn't seem like they don't have depth on the mound. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything can happen. Of course, you know, Jared Johnson, because their wins game 1, you only need 1 win after that. So,
right.
You know, you can make something happen.
Hit the ball a lot if you need to. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of 1A games that are really interesting.
So. Yeah, there certainly are. Like Myrtle TCPS is another one. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
The whole 1A is just like just completely like it's a death match. Just
I know
who can survive it. Get to the championship.
Yeah, in 3A you got Kossuth and South Pontotoc. That's a fun one. I saw South Pontotoc earlier this year against Nettleton. Looked really good. I saw Kossuth against North Pontotoc earlier this year. Both really really solid teams right there.
I hadn't seen South Pontotoc this year, but I did see Kossuth, and they were against Hatley, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was against Mantachie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were swinging it so well. I think they 10-12 hits, yeah, 10 runs. I think they were swinging it really well.
Yeah, they do swing it well. And speaking of Hatley, they take on North Pontotoc in another 3A series. That's 3A is really fun around here as well in baseball, as well as softball, which we'll get to in a minute. But I have not seen Hatley yet. You saw? Didn't you see them earlier this year?
I don't. Yes, yeah, I did. Yeah, against Houston, I did. I can cover so many games. It's like, who did I watch
I know.
This year?
I think you said that maybe that wasn't their best game, but
yeah, they got run ruled by Houston that night, and they came back and won. That was on Tuesday. They came back and won the Friday game against Houston. So I think I just caught them on a really bad night.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, they made the second round of playoffs, and anything can happen. They got some power hitters in that lineup. They got some kids that can swing it. I don't know too much about their pitching. You know, they kind of got hit around a little bit. They made a few errors in the field.
Yeah,
when I was there. So,
well, I know more about North Pontotoc than I do Hatley. Of course, Jake Reeder, their ace, and then that'll be a fun matchup there with him on the mound. And of course, Sheffield Anthony at catcher, and Corley Hooper can hit the ball as well. A lot of good talent on that North Pontotoc team. Should be a good series, I would think.
Yeah, they didn't play in the first round. They got a bye.
That's right.
The other team didn't have enough teams, I think, in their division or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
yeah. So yeah, that's a series starting later this week. Softball, Dalton. Let's look at the playoff scenario there. I was out at the Boonville Tuesday night as the Lady Blue Devils hosted Houston, the reigning 3A state champs, in a second round series. Houston won game one on Monday, and they ended up getting the sweep with a 4-1 win on Tuesday. It was kind of an atypical outing for Paige Kilgore, the Houston ace. We talked about her before. You know, she coming into the series averaged like 7.5 strikeouts per game. She had like 160 strikeouts in 21 appearances. She's their main. She's like the only pitcher they use. In this series, she had one strikeout, and that was for the against the final batter of game two to finish off the series.
It's honestly kind of surprising to me that she only averages 7.5 strikeouts a game.
It seems like it might be more.
I mean, I saw her get 15 in a game.
So. Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of that's due to Boonville being aggressive. They were kind of crowding the plate and taking some aggressive swings. And so that was part of it. And really, it's kind of a tough luck game for Boonville. They had like 4 or 5 lineouts. Line drives went right to people, including one for a double play to end an inning, and hit some balls pretty hard. They just happened to find fielders. I think they ended up with like 4 hits, 5 hits. And Kilgore, by the way, can defend her position very well.
Right.
She made a couple of nice plays, and she can hit the ball. She had 2 doubles, including an RBI double for the first run of the game. And so, she made an adjustment, and her catcher, Georgia McMullen, they kind of started had Georgia kind of set up a little farther outside, and so she was working that outside corner and got a lot of balls off the end of the bat got some fly balls to the right side of the field and ground balls that direction as well. So good adjustment by Kilgore, who's used to, like I said, getting more strikeouts, but with Boonville being that aggressive, she was able to kind of counter that by making it a little bit harder for them to square her up. And so anyway, Boonville, a really good team, by the way. They can hit the ball. But Houston, I mean, they just, you know, things don't go quite like planned, and you just find another way to win. And played really good defense behind her, made 0 errors in game two. So they'll move on to the next round. Dalton,
going to face Nettleton.
Nettleton, a little bit of a Cinderella story here. They just beat Choctaw County and, had a pretty tough regular season, but they did beat Houston.
They did beat them
in the regular season.
They're one of what? Their only 2 losses, I think.
Yeah, they're 20. I think they're 21-2 now. Houston.
Who knows what can happen?
Yeah, man. They got. I mean, they've been a little bit down the last couple of years, but they got a good ace pitcher, and they got some speed there with Micah Hall. So they could make things interesting there against Houston. Okay, now Pontotoc came back on Monday and stunned New Hope in a 4A series. I covered the game one there the night at Pontotoc and lost 11-9, but they showed they could hit the ball. But then against New Hope on Monday, they win 14-4 and 9-8. So been kind of a down year for Pontotoc compared to last year, but Michael Wildman doing a good job with them there to get that series win against New Hope on the road.
Yeah, and then they had to turn around on Tuesday and play the next round. And they hosted Tisch County last night. They ended up winning 10-9. They were down 9-4 in the bottom of the seventh, came back and won 10-9. So they are just cardiac lady warriors right there. They are just they're doing whatever they can do to win right now.
That is crazy, man.
I think it's kind of unfair for them to, I don't know, I guess to me it's just kind of unfair that they have to turn around and they play a doubleheader on Monday on the road in the playoffs, and then you win, and also now you got to play a game on Tuesday night.
Yeah,
in
but
the next round.
Just the way the weather has kind of made things. I mean, like, for instance, you've got Myrtle softball finished off a series Tuesday, and they got to wait on the Smithville-Biggersville series, which doesn't begin until Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, there's teams in the third round waiting on teams that haven't finished the first round.
Hadn't even started, yeah. So I'm trying to look here. Yeah, you got Biggersville and Smithville actually playing on Friday, one game, and then Saturday. I think that's with a doubleheader if necessary. Anyway, no, check that. Doubleheader Friday, Smithville at Bakersville, and then one game if needed Saturday. So, you know, be ideal if one of those teams could sweep on Friday and get the next series started by Saturday against Myrtle. Anyway, you can tell just how confusing it is because I can't keep straight who's doing when.
There's so many different games. There's so many reschedulings and everything.
My head hurts.
It's impossible for us to keep up with it.
Just about, man. Like I said, my head hurts. Anyway, looking ahead to some other series. Tonight, got a couple of big games Wednesday night. And they may be over by the time you listen to this because it's a podcast. Listen to it whenever you want. You got Mantachie at South Pontotoc. The Lady Cougars are going to try to seal that series at home. They won game one on Tuesday night. Also, I'll be out there tonight, Wednesday. I was out there last week watching them play when Vardaman beat them in a regular season game. And then you've got Hernando and Tupelo. Tupelo losing a close one on Tuesday in 6A there, 8-7. So they're at home today for game. They need to play two games today because they need to win twice. And Dalton, you'll be out there for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So look for our coverage in Thursday's paper. Wednesday softball.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like Wednesday softball. Whatever. We're not going to be covering anything Thursday because of the rain, so what's the difference?
Until it misses us tomorrow, and then we cover Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Watch.
Yeah, really? That's what's going to happen. No. Okay, let's move on to the shout-out this week. It is Carson Rowland of Pine Grove. I told you we'd talk about one of their players. Dalton, he had 3 home runs in 1 inning against Blue Mountain on Saturday in that 1A playoff series. I think they won like 26-0. So let's face it, he wasn't facing like a Jared Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care who you're facing. If you can hit 3 home runs on 3 swings, which he did, he swung at 3 pitches that inning, the first inning of that game, all went over the fence. If you can do that in batting practice, I'm impressed. Especially if you're 5'10", 140, and he's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
That tied a national record. 6 other players have done it, according to the record books. One of them being Will Robertson, who is a star at Faulkner High School. He did it back in 2011. And trivia, Carson Rowland attended Faulkner until this year. He transferred from Faulkner to Pine Grove, both in Tippah County. And so he watched Will growing up and actually went down to Pearl in 2011 to watch Faulkner when they went to the championship series that year in 1A. So, yeah, that's impressive. First 3 home runs of his career. I think he may have had an inside the Parker last year, his coach told me, but first time he's put him over the fence.
I think, weren't they up like 19-0 that first inning, I think?
Yeah, they scored like 19 runs in that inning.
What's the worst inning that you've ever seen in person?
Gosh. You'd have to give me a while to think about that. I like to think I tend to avoid those games.
I covered a game when I was stringing for the Commercial Dispatch a few years ago. I covered Starkville in one of the JPS schools.
Mm.
And Starkville was up, I think it was 17 or 19-0 in the first inning without recording an out.
Wow.
And it ended up being, you know, a 3-inning game, of course. But then Starkville went down there the next day and traveled to there and lost. So they had to come back for game 3.
What? How does that work? Oh, man. Okay. So congrats to Carson Rowland for making a little bit of history there at Pine Grove. Time for Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Let's go with Eden Conley, a sophomore for West Union, for Female Athlete of the Week. Over her last 5 games, Dalton, from the past week, 8-for-14 at the plate, 8 RBIs, 7 runs scored, and she was 3-for-3 with 3 RBIs in Tuesday's game 3 against Thrasher as West Union won to clinch that series and move on in the 1A playoffs. So congrats to Eden Conley. She's been hot at the plate for West Union. Male Athlete of the Week, Brett Hayden Benjamin, senior for Kossuth. In 2 games against Independence, as Kossuth swept Independence in that 3A playoff series, Brett Hayden was 5-for-7 at the plate, 4 RBIs, 4 runs scored, 2 stolen bases in those 2 games.
I saw him against Mantachie. I'm pretty sure he was 3-for-4 with a bases clearing triple. So he's been swinging it well
the
past couple weeks.
Yes, he has. And so, like you said, Kossuth can swing the bats. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com, talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports. And glad y'all could join us. And also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton is at DLMiddleton8, and I'm at Brad Locke, and we'll see y'all next week.